I figured out how to use the cruise control on that thing. And no tickets. Well, glory to God. Ready? Okay. Last week we were talking about being wells of living water for the Lord. That out of us are supposed to flow rivers of living water. And I didn't get to finish the message. I think I only made it through three or four of the scriptures that I have. And so I want to continue on. So if you'll go ahead and open your Bible this morning, go to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 4. I think that's where. Proverbs 18, verse 4. I think this might have been the one I ended on last week, but it said, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. Now, it's not going to happen today because one of the things that the Lord woke me up, He didn't wake me up, I was reading my Bible. I always like to try to get, you know, like I said, get at least one scripture in your mind so that when you go to bed, that's what you got going through your brain housing group. And anyhow, I laid there, and I've been trying to read one proverb a day. I mean, as far as the chapter, you know, there's 31. You usually got 31 days, and I just happened to be on that one, and I'm like, Lord, okay, I got some questions here. I got some questions on this wisdom and understanding stuff. I said, I think I got the basic principle of what you're talking about. But I said, I know you did not tell this man to write this stuff down because he just wanted us to be smart. Especially when the word says that knowledge puffs up. And no, don't get me wrong. Before anybody goes, oh, pastor wants us to be ignoramus. He says, no. See, there are some things, and boy, how to stay away from blending all of these messages. The word tells us to be excellent at what is good and to be innocent of evil. That's actually the more modern translation. But it means to be innocent of evil. Simple. My Bible actually uses the word simple. When we call somebody simple, we're not usually saying that they're innocent. Okay, we're saying you're a doofus. You know, it's not a good thing when somebody calls you a simpleton. But the word's telling us to be simple when it comes to that stuff. And then Proverbs actually says that those who are simple will get the wisdom and understanding. And so anyhow, I was reading all that and started getting in on this, and I was like, oh my Lord, this is... Like I said, I told her, I said, I had no idea it was 5 o'clock in the morning. I was thinking it was maybe 3. I'd just been writing and writing and writing and writing. And when I'd get to a block, it's like, Lord, okay. And then I just hear the words and I just take off writing. And so the Lord really began to do some things for me the other day and opening my eyes. But this wellspring, the wells, to return to the wells, to return back to the things. We started off in Genesis chapter 26, where Isaac redug the wells of his father. Isaac went back to what his father had already done. There was a foundation that was laid. Now I know, here's where people go. Well, the Apostle Paul says not laying again the foundation. He's talking about not crucifying Jesus again, folks. I've got a house that is nearly 100 years old. Do you know how many times I've had to go patch the foundation, go put some mortar between the joints because pressure causes it to crack? And you could have a house that's 10 years old, and I promise you, you will end up having to fix the foundation at some time. And this year seems to be a year that God is speaking to all his teachers and his prophets to get back to the foundational things. We've gotten so goofy in this area. Oh, you can only lift your hands to this point. Or you can only lift one hand. Or you can't lift your hands at all. Well, if you understood, if you were here during Thanksgiving, you understood that what Thanksgiving actually means as far as per the word is to lift your hands. So if you want to lift them here, or if you want to stick them way up here, just make sure you're sure if you understand what I'm saying. So there are so many things that we've got to get right back to the basics. Why? Because the basics are what carry us through. Anytime, no matter what the combat training, the specialized training, they're building continually on the basics. The problem is when we get off of the basics and they get over here into, oh, this is a new revelation of the Word. There is no new revelation of the Word. None whatsoever. And truth of the matter is, the Word has always been there. We've forgotten things that Jesus taught. We've forgotten things that Solomon would have taught. See, you know, here's something I told Angel, I've read the book of Proverbs, one of my favorite books to read. I don't know about you, but I love to read the book of Proverbs. I can sit down there and I can spend all day reading it. And there was something that finally jumped out in front of me. We all sit here and think that Solomon became wise by osmosis from the Lord. Isn't that what you typically thought? God gave him wisdom? But how many times did he credit, I sat at my father's feet and these are his words and he told me these. He told me to get wisdom and understanding. I'm like, oh. He went back to what his father taught. He went back to the well that David dug. He went back to the very thing that brought life to David. And does anybody remember what David was known for before Bathsheba, before Goliath? He was known to be a man after God's own heart. There's one thing you can say about David, no matter how much he messed up, he went back. He got right back to the very beginning. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me, Lord. Do you know anytime I've messed up and I went to the Lord and I said, create in me a clean heart again, Lord, and renew my spirit, renew the right spirit in me. Do you know what that's doing? That's taking you right back, breaking you right back up to the day like you got saved. Remember the joy you had? Oh, thank you, Jesus. All my sins are forgiven. He takes you right back to that. Alt, control, delete? And he just zeroes it right back out. He renews that in us. And so today we've got to get back to the basics of the Word. Because like I said, be honest with you folks, the only thing it's a revelation to us. That's all it is. It's because it's not been the teaching. Like I said, there are still people today in our realms that are trying to teach you that you're only holy if you look it on the outside. Now, come on. I have been around what I would have thought were some of the most holy people that I'd ever meet just to find out they turned around and they walked away from what God called them to do. That is not what I call holy, but boy, they had this is what I call the Pentecostal do, you know, just Brill Cream and comb it straight back. Because in the 80s, I'm not kidding, you look, in the 80s, if you became a preacher in the 80s, what'd you do? You slicked your hair back. Spiking your hair today ain't going to make you holy either. Nothing is going to make you holy on the outside. Well, I only eat certain meats. You know what? It's not what you eat that makes you holy. It's what's coming out of your mouth, what's coming out of your wellspring. What is your foundation? That is what's going to make you holy. Because if you're digging into the Holy Spirit, it's only through His works that we're holy. Because I'll tell you right now, I can't do enough. I can't work enough. I can't beg enough to be holy. And the Bible says that without holiness, none of us will see the Lord. And so, like I said, I'm wanting to get back right back to the basics. Now, you know, I know because some of you have been with me long, for a while, you know my Marine Corps experience is going to show up somewhere. In boot camp, in basic training, they take you and tear you right down to the very bottom. And they begin to rebuild the foundation that they had there. They start taking these little blocks. They start taking the ideologies that you had. And let me tell you, I had this one guy, his name was Fisher. I think it was Jacob Fisher. Why I can remember his name, his first name is beyond me, but his last name, we had two Fishers, and they were all the time getting in trouble together. Fisher, sir, well, don't matter which one, get up here, start pushing. They always paid. But anyhow, but this one particular guy, like I said, I'm 19. I'm one of the older guys in my platoon. And there were a few that were older than me. And this guy might have been 20 or just a few months older than me. But he was covered in tattoos. And I had not been exposed. You know, I had seen people with tattoos, got family with tattoos. But, you know, they weren't covered in tattoos, okay? I had never been around that. Let alone somebody who had skulls tattooed all up and down his arms, across his chest, with anarchy symbols all over them. Yeah, uh-oh. Some of you, I saw some of your eyes, understood the anarchy symbol. It means anti-government. He's now going to be a government employee. And I remember, you know, all they did was they split our platoon, made the first and the third rows do an about face, and then that was your person you did sit-ups with. So there I am staring at this guy, covered. He even had him on his legs. I'm thinking, how many anarchy symbols can you put on your body? I kid you not, I bet you he had 100. They were all over those skulls, and he had skulls upon skulls. He had a big skull with little skulls, and might have been. And as I stood there and looked at him, I'm thinking, okay. And we just picked up with these drill instructors. And the first week that you pick up with them, they are the worst because you have not learned to adapt to them yet. And so it's time to do our sit-ups. And I'm sitting there and I'm sitting on his feet and I got his legs and I'm leaning back. And he obviously had not done any kind of physical work before to get in shape for this, and he's struggling. Well, the drill instructors are looking for those who are struggling. They're going to single you out, and they are going to ride you hard. And they came over, and you got to understand, you do not, as a recruit, you do not want the drill instructors around you, even if you're not the one doing anything. You want to stay in the corner, in the dark, just let me get by. I'll be good, just don't kill me. They came in, and they saw him, and they just started yelling at him. And then they noticed his tattoos. Oh, I'm sitting here thinking, oh, Lord, I did nothing. I'm innocent in this. I'm innocent. I don't deserve this. I'm the lay reader, for crying out loud. But what they did is they tore him down, because they had to build something else. And they built upon him and made him a U.S. Marine. Even though his body was marked for life with his beliefs from before. I'm sure he had to get a waiver for drugs to get in too. Matter of fact, I think he did tell me that. I knew quite a few of them that did. But what they were able to do is he believed so strong in his heart of anarchy that he covered his body in it. So they knew he had a strong belief system. And when he got in there and he believed in what we were doing, what our job was, they were able to form him into what he needed to become. See, and God is no different. Periodically, you know, we need to be checked out. You know, has anybody ever seen them checking the bridges? Yeah, I bet you have. You better suck a little tighter to that undergirder because I'm coming under. But they'll be underneath there, and they will be checking the foundation for cracks. They'll check to see how deep they are. They have ultrasound equipment that can go in, and they can send signals and see if the foundation of a bridge is needing replaced. That's why we have so many bridges that need replaced now, because they have old foundations that have been neglected. And periodically, we all need to get our foundations rejoined. Chip out the old stuff that's breaking away, and you put in the new, and you blend it right in. So that is what we will be doing. Because, like I said before, it doesn't matter how elite you can get, you've always got to come back to the basics. Well, that's the milk, Pastor. I don't want milk. No, brother, that's word. That is the word. That is the meat that you need. Well, I want a steak. Well, I tell you what, when you can swallow the milk, we'll see about a steak. Maybe we'll give you a hamburger first. Because Jesus said, my meat, M-E-A-T, is to do the will of my Father. Oh, but the Apostle Paul talked about the meat of the Word. What was the meat of the Word? Come on, who was the Word? Jesus. What was his meat? To do the will of the Father. The meat of the Word is to do the will of the Father. Cut and dry. That just, I bet that just relieved some of you of some of those old doctrines that you'd heard back, that the meat of the Word, you got to get in and you got to get goofy. Well, that's what they basically started teaching. Now, there are deeper things in the Lord that'll boggle your mind. Because science ain't even figured it out. You figured out? They don't know how a star begins. They don't know what keeps the gases there. The understanding that I have of gas, and I do have a pretty good understanding of gasoline exploding. You can take my word for that. My eyebrows and bangs. Hair on my hands. But when gas burns, it's done. What keeps the sun continually generating this gas and to keep burning? And then on top of that, what keeps those stars that we learned about not too long ago that dwarf our sun, that are in distant galaxies, what keeps them burning? And you know what I find hilarious? The Word says the Lord hung them right where he wanted them. I want you. I want the middle of Orion's belt right there. Did you know they were called Orion's belt before the New Age goofy people got hold of them? It's in your Bible. He talks about the constellations. And they don't control your future. The Bible says that stars are there for a sign of the times. For signs. Charles Capps did a message on that probably 10 years ago now. Well, I was working at the gravel pit and listening to it on my radio. But anyhow. So the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. The very words that you speak are deep waters. Cooling deep waters. Like I said, if you want to get in and get refreshed, you know, we had swimming pools, but we always had those plastic things that, well, they last a week. If that, with us. Because once we poked a hole, if we didn't poke the hole in it before, we would ride them down the side of the hill. You know, you got four little kids riding down the side of the hill on a plastic swimming pool. But it always got hot in July. I mean, just pure tea blazing. Some of you remember. But you know what happened to the creeks? They got shallower and shallower and shallower. And that was our swimming holes. We didn't, like I said, we lived out in the country. And for the most part, we were poor, so we didn't have money to come to the pool. Although we'd drive by it and salivate. Oh, you could see the bottom. I bet there's no fish or crawdads in there. And so, but when you could get in that little cool water splashing around your ankles, you're like, I can do this in the mud hole at the bottom of the driveway. And I usually did. But then you'd find that deep spot. You'd find that water that's not gurgling. It's just flowing steady and smooth. And you start going out, and then the water starts coming up to your knees, then your waist, and then it's up to your chest. And most of the places we swam, man, that was about as far as it could go. But you were cooled. The best thing you can do when you're super hot is just to submerge your body in cool water. Just walk out in it. You know, they say, actually, if you have hot tubs and you're super hot in the summer, just keep the chemical pH balances right. There's nothing better than to just go sit in a hot tub with it turned off, because the cool water will wick the heat right out of you. See, that's what we're supposed to be. But the reason we're not is because, like Isaac, the wells have been filled in by our enemies. Your enemy doesn't want you to know the basic truths of the Word. Truths that Jesus did indeed pay for your salvation. You are not earning it. That Jesus did indeed take care of healing for you. And He did not bring sickness on you. I hate that message. He did not bring sickness and disease. You can't... Listen, folks, you won't find a Jew who's practicing. I always got to throw that in there, because a lot of them don't even believe in God anymore. They're Jewish by blood. That's it. But the practicing Jew, you will not convince them that they are sick just because of God's wanting to punish them. They know for a fact that sin brought it about, and the devil's the one that brought it. They start examining themselves. Now, listen, you do get colds. You can get the flu. Okay? You can. It does happen. Does not mean that necessarily that you sinned. Okay? Oh, I got a migraine. What did I do? I don't know. Did you hit your head on something? You have pain for a reason. If you got diarrhea, check your diet. You know, just things like your body's going to tell you. But people have taken this message that God gave me sickness to teach me a lesson. Now, what lesson would I get by stripping my children down and sitting them out in the street so that the whole world could shame them? Because that's what's happening. They learn nothing. But me and my prideful arrogance, well, I broke them, I showed them who was boss. Well, if that's what your way of showing who's boss, then you're a whiz-bang leader. I go get you some cheese whiz and you can go have your own little party. Now, Proverbs 25:26. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 26 says, a righteous man who falters before the wicked is like a murky spring in a polluted well. I think that says it pretty plain enough, but let me just... He's talking about the righteous, folks, not just the preachers. Who's the righteousness in Christ now? Everybody raises their hand. We are, all of us. When one of us falls and the wicked sees it, we are no longer desirable. See, in this country, this is a great example. You can't go, I don't think you could go to Africa or India or even some of the other Asian countries and try to preach this message, because they will drink murky water. But here in this country, typically, you aren't going to find me going to a mud hole with my cup and getting a good glass of water. It ain't happening. Okay? Why? Because of the fact that if I can have clean, crisp, cold water, or if I can have mud, and like I said, I've played in enough mud, I got enough dirt in me, I can tell you right now, it ain't going to kill you. But it don't taste good. And the mud holes, I don't know what it was, they always smelled like sewer. I have no idea. I mean, it's in the driveway. How could that smell like sewer? But it always stunk. We'd get that black mud between our toes and slung up our leg. We'd ride our bikes through it and just sling it all up our backs. We'd come in the house smelling like a sewer. Mom's like, get it outside. We spent a lot of our summers outside, didn't we? And because of that, the Word's telling us now that when we falter, when we fall, that the what should be a clean well, what should be refreshing water, is now non-desirable to the world. That's why we are responsible for ourselves. We are to make sure that we are walking the walk. We're not just talking it. You can ask the leaders in here, when something comes down, it starts with me. It does not just start. I don't say, well, I'm going to be up here and dictate this. I live by a different set of rules. No, the same rules that governed me as a corporal in the Marine Corps governed the four-star general who was the commandant. Same rules apply. He was required to have the same haircut. Now, I know in some areas you go in and they don't. I've seen that. Oh, I'm this. I got a different set of regulations. No, you don't. It's the same Bible. Holiness is holiness. That's all there is to this. But what should become refreshing to people is no longer refreshing. You want to know why people, you know, again, I'll go back to this. I do not desire to drink out of a mud hole. But I do desire to drink out of something that's clear. I remember, you know, I think we talked about the rusty wells and water last week a little bit. And, you know, wasn't it always appetizing when you got in your house and if you hadn't been there, say you went on vacation or went away for 2 or 3 days and you turned on your water and it was all orange? Didn't you just want to stick your glass underneath there and get a big old glass of it? No. It's the same thing. And the church is wondering why the world does not want Jesus. Because we've gotten away from what we're supposed to be doing, from what the Word tells us to be doing. I just recently discovered it's a BBC series called Robin Hood. I love it. I enjoy it. You don't go to costumes. I found some, we called them chocolate chip camis or Desert Storm camis. One of the guys was wearing them. I'm like, I don't think they had those in 1192. And I know, and I saw one guy, he had a tattoo of a claw coming out of his arm. I said, and I don't think they had that capability to be that detailed. But anyhow, I know. No. Oh, I remember now. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the whole thing, if you know anything about the story of Robin Hood, you will know why evil was allowed to take over. Because the king, the good king, was fighting a battle. He was in Jerusalem fighting in the Holy Lands. This is history, too. They were called the Crusades. The Pope decided that the church needed to go defend Jerusalem. Now the Word, I don't see everywhere, told us to go run off and fight and to kill as a church. As a military, the Word says that the government is God's arm for exacting justice. There is that branch. And God used Babylon. He used Egypt. He used anybody at that time in life. He even used Alexander the Great, and the fool didn't realize it. He played right into God's hand because he brought down Babylon. But anyhow, There were some facts that some people do not realize. We were killing the Jews too. The Christians were killing the Jews. That's our Holy Land. Does anybody remember what Jesus said when he left? Did he say, go and kill the Muslims and the Jews? He said, go and make disciples. Train them. Train them in what I've taught you. And because of that, the church got away from what it was supposed to be doing. Now, at that point, the church was, I think, almost at its pinnacle of being corrupt. I hope that was its pinnacle. But there were people like Martin Luther, who got in the Word and said, this is not what the Word says. This is not what we're supposed to be doing. And when we do, we start getting back into what God tells us to do. Then we can start becoming the rivers of living water again. Because I look back, and you know, we always talk about the Renaissance, and you know, you got the Renaissance festivals, and you know, and you got people walking around with big old turkey legs, and you know, guys walk around calling women wenches. The one time of the year they can get away with that and still live, and. You know, they all wear these funny-looking costumes, you know, tights and stuff like that. And we look, oh, that just looked cool and fun. I love that. Carry my sword. And do you realize how oppressive that time really was? Because the truth was not being taught in the church. There was no freedom whatsoever. And because of that, the church has stumbled. Because we got away from what we were supposed to. Israel did the same thing, folks. They were supposed to go into the land of Canaan and wipe out certain tribes. God listed them. Not every tribe that was around there was supposed to have been killed. Because they were not of that association. And I want to remind you too that most of the people they were told to wipe out were family members. Edom was Esau. Remember the two incest children of Lot? Two of the worst tribes of the land of Canaan for sexual perversions and killing children. They were the two top. And they were the two that God said, I don't want to see a speck of them. But Israel didn't go in and obey. Why? Because Israel came in and said, well, okay, we're fat and happy. We got our little farmlands. Let's just try to maintain some peace with the neighbors around us that we can. We're better than you. Do you realize Israel was supposed to go out and make disciples of all men? They were supposed to proselytize the land of Canaan. Look at the land of Canaan now. You got little old Israel right here, and they don't even have what they used to be. Little tiny Israel, and then all around in the rest of the land of Canaan is Israel's enemies. Israel is literally a little dot surrounded by their own enemies. So, when we talk about being wells of living water, that means we're supposed to be the examples. Doing what we say we're supposed to be doing. Like I said, the Bible says, tells us that, you know, you say you have faith, but you don't do anything. I'll show you my faith by what I do. Well, Pastor, I don't want to go out and try to walk on. No, we'll back the train up. You probably don't have the faith to walk on water anyhow, so don't even attempt it. Besides that, God's not looking for show-offs. I believe Elijah was the only example that I can think of right off the top of my head who ever challenged Satan's prophets to a show-off battle. He was the only one. However, when Jesus was tempted in the same way, what did he come back at him with? The principles, the basics, the word. He threw the word right back in his face. He was not going to get caught up in it. He was not going to show off just because, well, I can do this. Satan knew exactly who he was. There was no doubt in his mind. Now, Bible also says, well, I'll go ahead and turn to chapter 20, Proverbs. Might as well hit this one since we're right in the neighborhood. Chapter 20, verse 5 says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Now, the word understanding actually means intelligence, skillful. All those words that you can think of that would work in that line, that's exactly what it means. It means somebody who's got the smarts to dig in there. Can I ask you a question? Who was it typically dug the wells? We call them the grunts. They do the grunt work, you know, because you're grunting as you're doing it. It was the people that usually were not what the world would consider too smart. All you can do is dig ditches. Here's your shovel. You're going to be a ditch digger the rest of your life. So if it weren't for the simple, people that thought they were wise wouldn't even have water. Because, see, it was the simple that were in the hole that realized you got to start putting some support in it. Otherwise, it collapses on itself. Yeah, after it killed a few people. Bible says a man of understanding will draw it out. You want wisdom? Listen, you want. I don't care what the... And I know we have people in here who are super smart with math, and sometimes I'm jealous of you, and other times... More power to you, man. But do you realize that knowledge... You may understand E equals MC squared. You may understand the whole concept of how to make an atomic bomb. But that knowledge pales in comparison to what God has. And what God has really didn't involve the carnal world. I'm going to teach on this because this was what I got the revelation of the other night. I sat up until 5 o'clock writing it, got up a couple hours later, and spent the next 4 hours preaching to her. And, you know, I was like, wow. And you know what? That is inside of us because it's inside that word that's on your lap right now. Everything you ever need to know about the universe is right there. Bible says a man of understanding, a man who's smart enough to get in there and pull it out. He knows how to get in there and get it out. I don't care what your grades were in school. I don't care what your reading comprehension is. I have known people that couldn't hardly read, but because they started getting in the Bible and they started reading the Word, they can read today because of the Bible. And by the way, the Bible is written on a fifth grade level, so don't get too concerned. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out the Bible. To discern it rightly, you need the Holy Spirit. Because that has been such a big problem. Again, like I said, there's many. There's not just one problem with what the church has gotten into. So many churches, like I said, they get in there, you get saved. And again, what's the first book people want to read when they get saved? Revelation. They want to read Revelation. When Revelation was just John's interpretation of what John was seeing. But they forgot to read the book of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Because those are the reasons why John got to write the book of Revelation. And I believe John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John is where anybody needs to start. You're going to start reading the Bible, just start there. Start reading the book of John. If you have to just keep going over and over and over and over and over and over in the book of John, you just do that. Now Deuteronomy 8:3 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Proverbs says that wisdom and knowledge flow out of the mouth of the Lord. Now, what did the Bible talk about mouths, wells, living water? We were put here to speak into existence. The Bible says that blessing and cursing are in the power of the tongue, and this was not supposed to be a message just about your words. The Bible says that blessing and cursing are in the power of your tongue. God goes on to say elsewhere, he says, "Choose you this day, life and death." Choose, life and death. And how many of you ever had a teacher that gave you the answers? I think I may have had one. Joshua was telling me of a teacher he had this year, and he'd write the answer. He'd tell him the answers to the test. "This is going to be on there. Put it up there." I was like, man, I'd love to have had a teacher like that. God is a teacher like that. He said, "Choose life or death. Choose life that you may live." He tells you the answer. And where is life found? In the power of your tongue. First off, you humble yourselves and announce that Jesus Christ is now your Lord and Savior. You repent of your sins. That's the first power. Then you can start taking baby steps and learning the power that God used to create the universe. I do not believe there's a person on the earth right now who can handle that full power. They say a genius, somebody who's so smart, like, and I doubt, and I say I doubt this just because of the fact that usually if you're that smart, you're incapable of other areas. There are people that never saw music. There's blind kids that have never, they can't even hear, but they can sit down and play. But they lack someplace else. And I saw one guy, the guy, I forget, he's almost severely mentally handicapped. Angela watched this show with me. He's so far mentally handicapped that he cannot bathe himself. He cannot dress himself. But that man can sit down at a piano, never had a lesson one in his life, and he can just play the most beautiful songs, and they're all coming out of here. So they say that a genius uses only 10% of their mind. What's the other 90% for? Don't tell me it's just to fire the... Because that would have to be included in that 10%. We have 90% of our brains going to waste. How many of you figured out God doesn't create anything for no purpose at all? Your appendix has a purpose. Don't let the dog, it ain't got no purpose. You just don't eat enough nuts and berries anymore. Your tonsils have a purpose. Yeah, they're swollen because that's their job, is to catch the germs going down. Everything in your body has a purpose. What about the hangy downy thing in the back of your throat? Uvula. I know what it's called. It's more than to just make you gag when you're sick. But the power of life and death are in your tongue. And God told us to choose life. We can run around this world and we can try to figure out how to do this, how to do God, what are we going to do about the Middle East? What are we going to do about Egypt? What are we going to do about Haiti, Lord? What about Mexico? What about America? What are you speaking? Where's the life? Where's the rivers of living water? Doubt is not life. Doubt is dung. That's what it smells smells like to the Lord. I got another revelation the other day. Do you know Judas was not the first person to ever betray the Lord? Adam was. Adam betrayed the Lord. because he doubted what God's word said. Because his understanding was not where it should have been yet. That's a whole other message. That was birthed out of the other morning. If we will take the word that we read in the word in the Bible, I got to watch the word play. If we will take that to heart and let the Lord reveal in us, the Lord has revealed so much into me of not necessarily character flaws, but he said, that's not what you're to do now. That is not the stand you need to take. I did not create you for that. I created you for this. Because I told Angela, I said, after that, I said, I sat there and I just thought of all the things. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you give me the money, I will send protection teams into Haiti. I will send people over to these orphanages in Moldavia and protect these children. God said, what do you need me for? And then he said, what separates you doing that from any other dictator? Got a point. God's always got a point. Did you figure that? He said, what did I tell you? What does my word say? Power of life and death are in your tongue. Blessing and cursing. He has been showing us that here. We've not lifted one finger to go after the drug trade. Not one. But we have spoken into the drug trade. And I don't think you realize, I wouldn't either if I had not, because they're not making the headlines and all this stuff. How many trucks are making it out of Mexico all the way up to get within one of the surrounding counties and get nailed? They are all over the place. This is not a, Central Ohio is not a good area to be a drug smuggler. Oh, it's still going on, but it's dying. We have the power to bring life. But not because, well, I want to show you what kind of authority I have. You are a dictator and need to step down. You are an abuser of authority. Please step down. We do it because we love the people. Oh, and by the way, God told me, he says, I love the people that are smuggling them too. They need freedom. I love those men in Haiti too. They need freedom. They need somebody on their side. They need people to be praying for them. I love those guys that are trafficking human beings. By the way, the state of Ohio is one of the top states. I think it's at least in the top 10 out of 50 states for human trafficking. Ohio's the heart of it all. What's wrong with the heart? If the heart's sick, come on, you guys, some of you guys that have had some, been to the hospital for your hearts. If the heart's sick, the whole body is sick. Not only is Ohio kind of shaped like the heart, but we're kind of geologically the heart. And Ohio has been so influential in presidential elections, especially as of late. The whole country was waiting for Ohio. And guess who is in the heart of Ohio? You are. You are. Just a little old podunk town of Mount Gilead. But the people are getting the word. The people I know are beginning to speak the word, to live the word, and to trust the word. Now here's a little something that I wrote the other morning when I was studying out this. Water is generally spoken of for life, giving, and sustaining. Most of the times you will read in the Bible that water brings life. except in reference to the flood of judgment in Genesis. Even after the flood, God said he would not use water again, but rather fire. Fire is meant to destroy. Water is not. However, I will tell you why God used water. You ready for this? God used the water because it would not totally destroy creation and render it sterile. There would have been no seeds left to start again. Some trees are capable of being submerged for a long time and still live. That's why God used the water. God said, I'm going to use fire the next time because it's going to destroy the seed of everything. Yeah, we want Holy Ghost and fire. See, the Holy Ghost fire comes in. It's supposed to destroy all the seed of the enemy. You got to allow that work to happen. But then you need to let the refreshing water of the Word get in you and fill you up so that every time... Listen, folks, and again, I am one of the least religious people you will find. I am not just walking around town with tracts in my hand, just handing them out. If that's what God has told you to do, you had better do it. Okay? Just putting that on the, putting it out there. My mission is not your mission, and your mission is not mine. If God tells you to walk up to every fifth person and witness to them, you had better do it. But words of life are not necessarily always coming up to somebody and start quoting scripture at them. You might as well be speaking in tongues to them. Especially if they're not saved. They ain't well, don't you know, the Word says this. Exactly. They're like, what Word? Yeah, they're going to go, yeah, Word up, man. But the words of life are actually words that bring encouragement to somebody. It doesn't take a genius to see that somebody's down. And if you listen to the Holy Spirit, just a handshake, a smile, pat on the back, or even God may even have you step way out of your comfort zone and say, listen, I can see you're down. Do you want to talk about it? Oh, and you want to know the greatest part about being able to speak? Is listening. I still believe God gave us two ears and one mouth for a purpose. Yeah, so we could hear in stereo. Even a car will tell you what's wrong with it if you will just listen. But you got to know how to listen. If it's sitting there going tick, 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 and you're sitting there cursing the thing, how can you hear the tick, 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 see where it's coming from? Until you stop and you listen, then you can figure out. See, when I had my truck, I had a tick, 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 tick. Had no clue where it was at. However, I knew that it was not anything life-threatening to my truck. I just started the engine one day with a pipe wrench attached to the main pulley, the crank, and it swung around there and smacked something and didn't hurt it. That's how you turn the engine over. That's what we were taught in the Marine Corps. Take a pipe wrench and just put it on the pulley and turn your engine over slowly. I just forgot to remove the pipe wrench. Big old 18-inch pipe wrench. So I had a tick, 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 tick. But I knew because I was a mechanic that it was nothing fatal. However, if you're driving down the road and you hear, you might want to check your oil. Or it might be too late. More than likely at that point, it's too late. Trust me, as somebody who has experienced that personally, it's too late, isn't it? I locked that engine up tighter than a drum. Of course, Chevettes are not race cars, so... But even with the flood, God showed mercy. Turn over to Luke chapter 5 real quick. I've got a couple things here. We're going to finish this up real quick. Verses 3 through 7. Says, then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. Okay, first off, if you're in a boat, a sinking boat is not a comforting feeling. But these fishermen are not about to throw one fish overboard. Why? Because this was the reward for obedience. Now, here's where I'm going with this. You got to hang on. Okay, you strapped into your seat. You got your seat belt on. You got your roller coaster harness on. I mean, a big metal one that you ain't coming out of. When you cast out into the deep, folks, the deep things of God, and when I say deep things, I mean you get into the Word and you start understanding who you are. First off, let's back it up. Who He is, who you are, and the power of your authority. When you start doing all that, when you cast out into the deep, is where your reward is at. Okay? It's not waiting in the shallows. Oh, Lord, I'm just going to stand here in the shallows. I'm expecting to find a fish. Yeah. Any fish that's in the shallows isn't worth having. It's usually a carp. If you like carp, more power to you. Carp makes good fertilizer. But when you get out into the deep, folks, first off, you're out of your security zone too. They were comfortable just sitting off the shore, especially if you're not a big fan of water. I wasn't a big fan of boats just because, well, there was a fear instilled in us as children of the water. So I was not a big fan of boats and joined the Marine Corps. I did not do my math. I didn't do my homework and find out how the Marine Corps got to where they were getting. The U.S. Navy. I did not know up until that point that we were the Department of the Navy. The men's department, yeah, we'll make sure everybody knows that. Yep. Everybody knows Marines are conceited and arrogant, so we don't need to. So if you're wanting to see God moving miraculously in your life, try getting a little deeper into His Word. Get a little deeper. I'm not saying get goofy. Don't go getting wrapped up in the law. Everybody's trying to bring you right back into the law. Well, this is the way the priest did it. Great, you can use it as an example, folks. I saw where the priest blessed the tithes. That's why I come up and I bless the tithes. But not because God said, you have to do it according to the law. Because if that's the case, I got to grow some sideburns that curl. We can get you. Yours still ain't long enough. If we're going to go getting wrapped up in the law that did not bring life, it merely showed you what you did wrong. God meant for us to worship the way Adam had worshiped before, with the relationship God had with Adam. Do you know how many of the priests not very many of them made it into the Holy of Holies like this, I'll tell you that much. Well, none of them made it into the Holy of Holies. But they would stand up and they'd offer their sacrifices. Then they'd turn around and go back and find their temple prostitutes and their alcohol. You want the things of God? You're going to have to get deep. You're going to have to pay a price. I'm sorry. The the church, we've taught, oh, it's simple. There's a price you do pay. Salvation is free for the taking. But it's going to cost you your life. Once you get out there, you're out in the deep things. Anybody figured out that you don't just float naturally? Unless you're out in Utah or the Dead Sea, you don't just float naturally. I remember when they threw me off that diving board and said, now tread water. I was not a strong swimmer to boot. They throw me in with combat boots, a flak jacket, and a helmet. The flak jacket weighs an extra 25 pounds and the helmet's 6. Yeah, and then the pack. Now tread water. I got my boots on. Yeah, you're going to have your boots on too when you jump off of a ship. Well, who said I'm jumping off the ship? And so you're out there in the deep. You have learned to tread water. Because the sensation of drowning is not fun. Even going under once out of control is not fun. And I will tell you, and I promise you, they would have let me go to the bottom and quit kicking before they had pulled me up. Because they were not going to give their life just to pull me up when they knew they could resuscitate me. Now, so if you did not get the symbolism of that, if we want all that God has for us, we need to go deep. And if we are to be wells of living water, we need to get deep. Shallow wells don't have much water to give, but a well that runs deep. You know, we used to, when I was doing some work for a particular contractor, they actually worked for a millionaire. And anytime something would, you know, we'd need something or something would have to happen, here's the phrase I always heard, he's got deep pockets. I want to be a Christian who's deep. That people can come and they can come and they can come, but because I'm in the Word, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, I got more to give. I got more to give. I got more to give. But when I quit listening to the Holy Spirit, and I will testify to the fact personally that when you've shut off the flow of water coming in and you're still giving out, you're going to run low yourself. And it's dangerous. Even in Jonah, chapter 2, verse 3, when Jonah was cast into the deep, he discovered the mercy of God in the deep. He was out there in the deep and he found the mercy of God in a fish. And I don't know what Jonah's problem was after that. Like VeggieTales said, Jonah was a prophet who never really got it. John chapter 4. And we are coming around the backstretch. John chapter 4, go to verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was you who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Recognition of the gift that's in front of you is the important thing there. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and your well and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us this well? Whose well? Their father. They were still drinking from the well of their father. And drank from himself as well as his sons and his livestock. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." She still didn't get it. She was always going to have to come back to that well to drink that water. But what Jesus was offering her was so much greater. This is where the Bible comes back into play again in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you." What things were we talking about again? Basic essentials of life. She was still thinking in the carnal because her understanding was limited to the carnal because there was no renewing of the mind yet. So I'm not going to sit here and point out how bad of a woman she was. She needed Jesus. She needed the living water that he was giving her. And when you get that living water, oh man. Well, just hold that note for another message because it was something I saw in Proverbs. Not every word that's translated, and I told Angela, I said, "That is such a really a travesty that not every word is translated properly from the King James." And they translated them close. On some of them, but some of them, there's one word they translated understanding, and it does not mean understanding whatsoever. That's why you got to get in there and look. It's not that the Bible's wrong. Let's get that straight. It's just that one, that word was not used as understanding. It actually meant heart. So, we'll talk about it, though. You'll see what I'm, the revelation that I got. Like I said, it was a revelation to me. It was not. It's not a revelation to God. He knew it was there the whole time. He just had to wait till I found it. You know, God knew there was oil in the ground all along. He just had to wait till we found it. He knows where all the gold deposits are at. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You can turn there if you want. I'm going to just start reading when I get there. Chapter 2, starting in verse 6, says, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, 'Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things of which God has prepared for those who love him.'" "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." Do you want to know why the Holy Spirit is so important in your life? How do you know the deep things of God if you don't have the Holy Spirit? And I will tell you, I do know that there have been, I'm not going to say that I know of any running around right now, but there have been Spirit-filled ministers who have come out and said, "The Spirit showed me," and they come up with a totally off-the-wall doctrine. Hey, let's go to the desert. Does the Bible ring anything true about if they say, "Come follow me to the wilderness"? Jesus said, "Don't go." But yet we have thousands of people every year run off with cars. In America. We had one right here in the county. I refused to put us under non-denominational because they were there. Because they were Spirit-filled and then the Spirit got goofy. Because they didn't get into the deep things of God, they got into the deep things of man. This particular person became a control freak to the point that he controlled everybody's income. This is in Morrow County, folks. They all brought their checks to him and he decided what they needed. I've been like, "See you, dude." That was just it. They were willingly deceived. They liked it. As the word says, they were like silly little women who like to run around and get little bits and pieces. That's right. It doesn't take, you can sit there and, oh, well, here, let me tell you. Well, let's talk about David Koresh for just a second. He was having sex with everybody's wife. Why? Hey, Jerry, here's an AK-47. You want to go out and shoot it? Because the stupid nuts were gun hungry. Oh, I'm going to give you my wife for a gun. I'd have turned that AK around and said, you can have my gun and my wife when you pray for my dead body. But the truth of the matter is, that's what happens when they're not listening to the Holy Spirit. They get goofy. And it can happen to anybody. It has happened to some big names. Well, we call big names. I'm talking well-known preachers. It has happened to them. And they didn't realize it just because, well, as the old say, you know, adage goes, that you, if you throw a frog in a pot of boiling water, he'll jump out. But if you put him in room temperature water, he'll stay in there and then just turn the heat up underneath him. And he'll boil to death. That's exactly what happens. They realized instantly, oh, hey, that's not good stuff. But they were in it so long that scales built over their eyes. And they couldn't hear the voice of the Lord anymore. And so they created this utopian world where they were king. And I will tell you, listen, I do believe in honor, okay? I want you to understand, I do believe in honoring those who are above. I truly do. But I will not preach the message of honor to you just so that you will do things for me. Will not do it. Because here's two reasons. First off, I see in my Bible we're at the very Last Supper where Jesus should have been the one getting the honor. He's the one who got down on his hands and knees and washed their stinky feet. I see that in the Word. I see that as my example. Two, and how this, where this goes out the window is beyond me, but every military leader who's worth his weight knows you don't do anything until your troops are taken care of. Now, there are privileges that come with that stuff, but that's over there. But see, that message has been taught. And I think it's been taught to a fallacy now. Oh, bring me honor offerings. Come on, let's stop. You know what? Abraham wouldn't take an honor offering. Let's just get real. But there are those that receive honor offerings. I don't agree with it. We're still friends. But that's just it. I know not everybody agrees with me on everything. And I'm glad that means you still got a mind of your own. I want you to have the mind of Christ, mind you, you understand? I don't want you to have my mind. Because my mind is corrupt and fallible. Okay, I'm not saying that I am corrupt. I'm saying that this flesh. And if we're going to be fountains of living water, we are going to have to get in that Word and stir it up. That means get in the Word, listen to the Word, pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost, folks. The Holy Ghost stirs that stuff up in you. The Holy Ghost stirs up something. I'll tell you right now, when we come in here for war on the floor, and I'm praying, and even begins praying in tongues, you know, and even hearing, you know, some of you guys, you know, in the background interjecting supplications, and even in your spoken language and in the spirit, man, that stirs up something inside of me that I cannot describe. It's just like, all right, we're locked and loaded now. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And you know, and here's something, I'm going to just say this. You guys need to start seeing yourself as the righteous people. I don't know, I just felt led to tell you that. You're the righteous one too. Oh, but Pastor, you don't, listen, get your act cleaned up. And do what you can do, and we'll let God change everything else. Was it just taught that? No, no, it was something else. Never mind. So, as we dig back into the things of the Lord, we're going to see that God never left the throne. We're going to see that he meant for you to prosper. I started, like I said, in just, I'll bet you I've probably got 3 or 4 months worth of teaching out of that 5 hours the other night. Just different things. And you know what, folks? You may hear it a couple times. I'm not going to apologize. You know what they told us in boot camp? That it took 17 times of repeating something before it would stick in your memory. 'Sir, discipline is the instant willing obedience to orders.' What's the 6 troop leading steps? 'Sir, 6 troop leading steps are keyword BAMSIS, begin planning, range recon, make recon, complete planning, issue orders, and supervise, sir. What's the most important step? 'Sir, the most important step is supervise, sir.' Do you know how many times I said that? I've been out since 1993. I got out of boot camp in 1989. That's over 20 years. But because we said it day in, and I'm going to tell you right now, we said it. If we were walking, we were talking. Not with each other, but with our teacher. He was teaching us everywhere we went. And when we weren't teaching, he was encouraging us. Now, he wasn't encouraging us to say, "Oh, you're such a good boy. You know, you're doing such a good job. I'm so proud of you." They called cadence. We had one drill instructor, he could sing a motivational cadence like you wouldn't believe. There were some of them that could, some of them that just, I don't know why they were drill instructors. But ours, he could sing a cadence and it'd just get motivated. You're like, "I'd follow you to the end of the earth right now." Then he'd take you and throw you in the sand pit for an hour. Then you're thinking, "Dear God, where did you come from? And you're supposed to be the nice one?" So, let's stand this morning. Is there anybody who needs prayer? Okay, cold.